Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias. Guten Abend. Bonjour. Hi, you. That's the greeting at the World Cup. All right. Kevin hates when I do that.
He does.
Which is why I do it.
Exactly. I'm oblivious to it. Now, in New Zealand, you would say, Hairi mai. Hello, Hairi mai.
There you go. I like that.
Yeah.
I like it. Our number is 800-795-9565. I reside here at the Chateau, both before and after the show and during the show.
Yeah.
I'm at the Chateau. This is the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Let's talk about this concept of amateurism, although we may have a call here to take at 800-795-9565 before we get even further into it.
Steve, we just got the flashing lights indicating a severe thunderstorm warning, as you predicted, for Snyder, Union, and Mifflin counties.
There you go.
So your meteorological forecasting specialty is on target again.
I'm a Penn State grad,
exactly.
My man.
They are the number one school for meteorology in the world.
One in every four meteorologists is a Penn State graduate.
And, Steve, I know this to be true, that occasionally you actually walk by the building where meteorology is taught.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you right now, the guys that didn't make it in it, their map had 47 states.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Dave in Sunbury. Hello, Dave. How are you?
Okay. How's Steve?
Doing very well, Dave. It's
and
great to hear
Bob?
From you, my friend.
Absolutely excellent, my friend David.
Hey, I'm doing great.
Excellent.
Good,
I'm,
I like
I'm down
it.
The river from you, Bob.
Yes, you do. All of us in Danville are well aware of what we throw in the river in Danville eventually makes it to your house, Dave.
Eventually.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Well, you were saying about this, amateurism, this, right?
Yes.
This portion of the program being brought to you by the EPA. All right, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead, Dave.
I thought of Mike Smith.
Yeah, good defensive back, no doubt. Neil Smith was also a walk-on.
Yeah, from Sealands Grove.
Sealands Grove.
Yeah. Yeah, Neil Smith was also a walk-on here. And that goes back. I mean, but when you look at today, walk-ons are more important than ever to both football and men's basketball programs. But I had Rob Cooper, the Penn State baseball coach, on yesterday. Here's Rob Cooper's baseball on the collegiate level, at the highest level, gets 11.7 scholarships.
Okay.
Yeah, 11.7. Penn State baseball, for example, does not have a player with a full scholarship on the team. So that 11.7 is spread out over, I think 20 guys. I think you're allowed to have 27 on the team, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but I think 20, so it's over like 20 guys. So some have quarters, some have halves, some are up to as much as 0.75. in terms of the scholarship, and of course they have to make up for the rest of it, whether it's with loans, grant money, or whatever. His biggest concern is this: if you were to pay football and men's basketball players, which is what is being openly discussed, and again, I don't like talk shows that talk to the hey, let's just talk to the mob. Hey, pay them. You can't do things simplistically in this model. Okay, it is easy to get on a talk show and talk. Okay, like a third grader, okay? But there's some point you got to have some big boy conversation as to what works and what doesn't work. When you have an unfunded federal mandate, which is what Title IX is, I don't care what you say, it is an unfunded federal mandate. Am I correct, Bob?
Yes, you are.
Yep, and Dave agrees.
Okay?
I'm agreeing.
Okay? We all agree Title IX is important. It should be there. all of us agree. I want Title IX. I want women's sports. Okay, I want people to have the opportunity to play as many sports as possible, whether it's men's lacrosse or women's lacrosse. I don't care. I want young people to have that opportunity because I think sports is an incredible way to help you grow in so many ways. There's so many things you get out of sports that are going to carry you the rest of your life, and also the connections to help as well. And as many students that can be in that category, I'm for. But you have to pay for it. And if Rob Cooper's fear is that if football and men's basketball players are paid, look, common sense tells you you're going to have to cut sports.
Somewhere.
Which sports do you cut? And he knows that one his sport is one of those that's going to take a big hit in all this. And I'm going to tell everybody right now, up and down the valley, what's the sport you love? What sport do you love besides football up and down the valley?
I think it's, yes, it's played in winter, okay. It's indoors,
hola,
and it's on a mat.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, ciao. Okay? Not going to happen. There's 76 programs in the country. Penn State will keep wrestling, but there may not be more than 29 others that keep it.
Yeah, I'll hang up and listen, but you're right on. Like I say, spot
you
on.
You know, what you're really saying, Steve, is that there's that free lunch everybody thinks is out there is not free. It has a huge cost. And the commentators that talk about it as if it was a free lunch don't know what that there is a price to be paid for that so-called free lunch. And
the problem that we have is that there is such a great focus on football and men's basketball, and justifiably so. In college, those are the two most popular sports far and away. Okay, it's not even close in terms of popularity and also economic reach as to what the two of them can do. So what we see is 107,000 people going into Beaver Stadium. You see the game is nationally televised on ABC, ESPN, BTN, whatever it happens to be. And you hear about the TV contracts in which they're getting $44.5 million per school eventually. Right now it's at 25.7. I think it kicks up to almost 28 in the next level, and then I think it goes to 34 after that. So that's how the next 2 years go, and that's what each school gets. You go $34 million. Oh my God, it's incredible. You know, you're getting all that money off of their sweat. Well, while technically true, right, they're getting something too. Now let's examine what a student athlete gets. It's not perfect, but they do get something. Okay? You get a scholarship. That scholarship can range anywhere from in-state $15,000 all the way up to, obviously, $29,000.
And if
okay?
you're, and
if you're out of state.
And if you're, let's just say, a Northwestern, Steve, that's $50,000 to $60,000 for that same
right.
scholarship.
Right.
We're talking real money there. And at
right.
Penn State.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. So, yeah. Then you're talking about housing. All right, so that gets paid for. Now you're going to get a full meal plan starting August 1st where basically you can go in anytime you want and you can get a snack or whatever anytime you want beyond training table. That costs money. Right? Your books, that costs money. You also get a $250 allowance per semester for clothing. You do have to receipt that. But you still get a $250 clothing allowance, right? So if you want to go out and buy yourself a pair of sneakers, you want to go out and get yourself a suit jacket, you want to go out and get yourself a shirt, whatever, you have $250 per semester that must be receipted that you're allowed to have. Then I've already talked about the concept of grant money. Grant money can be kept by any student above and beyond what is needed for tuition. Well, considering the tuition's paid for as a full ride scholarship athlete in football and men's basketball, all right, now you're talking about they get to keep all of it. Now, some of them do send it home, and I understand that, right? I understand that part of it, that some send it home. Now, let's remember, though, hey, if they wish to keep it, they can keep it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to send it home. That is their choice, and out of the goodness of their heart, they do it. So I'm for a stipend of about $2,000 a year that's spread out over 10 months at $200 a month, with 800 student athletes on campus receiving grants and aid, that comes out to $1.6 million. All right? So this is what they get. Now, they also get, if they wish, and I have people say, oh, I've had somebody argue with me, just let the free market take care of it. Okay? Sports is not based on the free market, right? It's based on competition. Okay? In order to be great, you need to be competitive. That's why the NFL, for example, each team gets $130 million from the TV package. Why? Because you can't have New York would command more than Green Bay, Wisconsin. Right? So it keeps everybody competitive, which makes it exciting, which drives people to watch the games and so forth, and that's what it's all about. And everybody ends up with a pretty good cut of the pie. I've heard people say, hey, look, let the free market determine exactly, you know, what a player's worth going to college. Excuse me, Johnny Manziel just left Texas A&M. Okay? What did the free market get him? The Cleveland Browns. Okay? There is no free market. He didn't go out there and say, hey, here I am, 32 teams, sign me. No. He went to the NFL in the business world. And guess what? He was assigned to the Cleveland Browns. Okay? He, you know, he may have wanted to go to the Raiders, but he got drafted by the Cleveland Browns. Okay? So in the free market, you know, he was steered for competition reasons in that direction. I've heard a lot about Texas A&M and what Johnny Manziel's done for them. They had 90,000 season ticket holders before he ever played a game. They've got 90,000 season ticket holders now. What's the change? Oh, that's right. There is no change. All right. Now, he came in as a rather unheralded recruit. I believe his only other scholarship offer, I think, was Fresno State. I think. Well, guess what? He went to Texas A&M. Right? He received the tutelage of Kevin Sumlin. He received the film work of Kevin Sumlin and how to do things, and along with his quarterback coach, whose name I don't know. And he also was able to use the weight room facility at Texas A&M and so forth. You do have options in life. For example, if Johnny Manziel wished, he could have paid his way to IMG Academy. And he could have learned from Chris Wenke how to play quarterback. And then after a certain point, then be eligible for the NFL draft. Now, he could have paid his way to IMG Academy. And he could have paid his way to the Academy in Arizona and spent his time there and tried to impress everybody that he was an NFL-level quarterback. But by going to Texas A&M, where he did not have to pay for a meal, where he did not have to pay for a room, where he did not have to pay for the weight room, where he did not have to pay for his film session, and he did not have to pay for his coaching, okay? He was able to take all of that along with his own personal natural talent and parlay himself into a first-round National Football League draft pick. Why in the hell doesn't anybody ever talk about that? All we hear is what he did for Texas A&M. Excuse me, Texas A&M did a heck of a lot for him.
No question about it.
I mean, look, he got free coaching. He got free weight room. He got free meals. He got a free room. He got free practice. He got free film work. He got all this stuff for free. He just had to put his own time in to do it. Okay? He could have paid his way to IMG Academy to go. And for all of you, so, oh, come on. No, that's what you get. And you can go to IMG Academy. You can if you want to go there, but you have to pay your way. You make choices. And to me, coming out of high school, these are the choices I would give you. Okay? I would give you this choice here. Now, he has to be approved by the Players Association. It's the union that has actually held things up. But I would give you this opportunity. I'm going to give you a four-year guaranteed scholarship, okay, that can actually warp into a fifth year, okay? I'm going to give you that. That's what we're going to promise you if you stay in good academic standing and you're not a disciplinary problem, all right? Now, those are the only two conditions, discipline, academics, all right? I'm going to make sure you have a four or possible five-year scholarship, guaranteed four, all right? You, as a football player, if you elect, okay, and I would give you the option, do you want to go to the NFL draft, do you want to go to IMG Academy, or do you want to come to school here? If you pick here as a school, Okay? You have to give me 3 years. Guaranteed. Because the NFL draft rules, you have to be there 3 years anyway. So you have to give me 3 years. Okay? Basketball. I'll give you a four-year scholarship that could be five if you need it. All right? And if you opt not to enter the NBA draft at the age of 18 and you opt to sign with us, you have to give me 2 years. You have to give me 2 years. That's what, you know, you have to give the school to, not one, but two.
That would wipe out
in
Kentucky.
Yeah, well, actually make Kentucky probably better.
Yeah, yeah. Would wipe them out after 2 years.
Right. But, you know, here's the other part. I also would make sure that if you complete 2 years and you leave and you opt to go pro, and for whatever reason you want to come back and finish your degree and you still have 2 years left in your clock, we will pay for those 2 years as well. I told you I would give you a four-year deal. Okay, that's what I would do for you. Okay, now what Jim Delaney has proposed is that he also wants to make sure that they have transportation home during break. I'm totally against that. I'm totally against that part of it, and here's the reason why. The reason why is this. There's going to be some point where somebody's going to take personal responsibility for themselves, whether it's the student-athlete or whether it's the parents. To me, that has got to be their responsibility, okay, to get them. At some point, we gave you everything else. You got to figure out your own ride home. All right, I've agreed with Jim on most things. That's one I've disagreed with Jim about. I don't quite understand where he's coming from on that angle.
Steve,
that part I don't get.
I'm going to split the difference with you on that one, and here's what I think. Because of the national nature of, for example, football and basketball recruiting, if your home is, say, more than two, and you can pick a number, 250 miles, 300 miles away from the campus, there should be some type of stipend to assist you to get home, as opposed to if you're living in Lewisburg,
Bob,
or Pittsburgh from Penn State.
But,
let's
Bob,
say.
I've already given you your grant money, and I'm already giving you $200 a month on a stipend.
I understand.
Okay, it's up to you now as an adult as to how you wish to spend it.
I agree, but
at some point you've got to be able to come up with your own way to get home.
Well, as a college student that lived went to the school near the Ohio border, it was hitchhiking across Interstate 80 in the 1970s that got me home. Because I didn't have...
Right.
And the problem is, for some students and some athletes, even on scholarship, I think it's truly a cash flow problem. I can see a certain time, you can't drive to, say, Georgia or South Carolina, so you need to fly from State College to Harrisburg or wherever to get home.
But
and it's
Bob,
a cash flow thing.
How do the rest of the students then do it?
Well, the rest
they don't
of the students
have
the opportunity to have jobs, Steve. And
yeah, but what
do
their jobs pay for? But what do their jobs pay for? I've already told you, okay? I've already told you, you can keep all of your grant money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You get to keep all your grant money, and I'm giving you a $200 a month stipend.
Pizza.
Okay? The average student is taking their grant money to pay for their tuition.
Right.
And because at Penn State, three out of four need aid. They need their grant money to pay their tuition, okay? And they need the job. That's their stipend.
You know what we ought to do, Steve? We ought to ask people to call in at 1-800-795-9565 and see whether they agree with Jim Delaney, which is give them free transport home, you, no transport home, and me, pick an arbitrary mileage amount. If you're greater, you get a ride home or not. That's, we could do that.
I mean, look, when it comes to bowl games, these guys make out like bandits. Seriously, you get a stipend and a bowl game. You go home, and they figure out a mileage number, mm-hmm. and are very generous in the stipend needed to travel back and forth for the bowl game. These guys are pocketing money left and right off the bowl money, you know, that they get for transportation because it's amazing, Bob, how they figure out how to get from their home to Florida.
Okay? That's true.
And are able to keep money beyond it.
But you know,
it's amazing. See, there's a couple little things that I know that a lot of people don't know.
When you think about it, Steve, $200 a month is a little over $6 a day. That doesn't even get you a slice of pizza and a Diet Coke anymore in state college.
But Bob, I'm already giving you 24/7 meals.
Steve, you're a college. We're talking college kids. We're talking wanting to go to a movie, have a date with somebody. You can't take your date to the training table, unless she another athlete.
Oh no, you can't. You can't do that. But the $200 a month, which is $50 a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what? How many weeks are you not spending that money? There's a good chance it's going to be a couple weeks you're not, because you got everything else handed to you.
Yeah, a valid point. I can see that.
If you're an apartment now, you might be paying your electric bill. Mm-hmm. If you're an apartment now, you've got to pay rent every month. Well, you're not paying for any bill. There's no electric bill, water bill, any other bill.
Now, Steve, one quick thing that listeners out there probably are not aware, but it is my understanding at Penn State, the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics, they pay, or money is transferred from their account to, say, the dormitory account, the food service account. It's not like Penn State just writes it off. Penn State has somebody over at Intercollegiate Athletics, where the money comes in, has to have the money go out to cover these things. It's not free to the Department of Intercollegiate Athletics. It's free to the athlete, but that there's actual money that transfers hands. There's money that goes from the Intercollegiate Athletics to the academic fund to pay for the courses the kids are taking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of people they're under the misunderstanding that Penn State just gives that away. You know, they don't.
No, there's an actual financial transfer, just like there's a financial transfer every time Penn State practices in the Jordan Center.
Yeah, people don't realize Penn State has to pay rent for that.
Yeah, Penn State has to pay rent every single time that they do that. All right, and the other part, too, you mentioned about the average student can work. Guess what? The average student has to pay for their books, too. All right, time to take a break. The news bottom of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Where Selins Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg turn first for news. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Coroner called to Weiser State Forest. AccuWeather says we could see some storms this afternoon, a high 84 degrees. Good afternoon, I'm Cody Jade, WKOK News. A body has been found in the Weiser State Forest. DCNR Forester Robert Martinovich confirms the Northumberland County Coroner is on the scene in the Bear Gap area of Mount Carmel Township. Martinovich says the body was found in the Roaring Creek portion of the state forest. The identity of the body has not yet been confirmed, but this is the area of a week-long search for 54-year-old Michael Kenny of Northumberland, who was reported missing last Wednesday after he did not return from a run. Kenny's vehicle was found parked at the Weiser State Forest along Route 54. We'll have more details as they become available. A recent report on childhood obesity in Pennsylvania indicates it's still a major issue, but also outlined a number of recommendations. State Representative Seth Grove of York says childhood obesity is a serious problem in our state.
In the early 1960s, only 4% of children between the ages of 6 and 11 were considered obese. This number has skyrocketed as the latest figures indicate an alarming 26 to 28% of children in Pennsylvania are either overweight or obese.
The report proposed a number of solutions, including adding physical education to the list of core academic standards in Pennsylvania and encouraging schools to provide physical education year-round instead of for just one semester. The battle over same-sex marriage is moving closer to the Supreme Court. A federal appeals court panel in Denver ruled today that states must allow gay couples to marry. Utah's attorney general is planning to challenge the decision, either with the full appeals court or at the Supreme Court. The Chicago City Council has approved an ordinance that dramatically limits where gun stores can operate, and it requires them to videotape every purchase to prevent one person from buying a gun for another. The measure would prohibit gun shops in most of Chicago. The Illinois State Rifle Association says it amounts to a gun ban, and it will likely be challenged in court. Obama administration officials say the U.S. and its European allies are finalizing a package of sanctions against Russia with the goal of putting them in place as early as this week. But they say those sanctions might be delayed because of positive signals from Russian President Vladimir Putin. Thursday, the leaders of Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France agreed in a conference call that a mechanism needs to be set up to oversee the ceasefire in Ukraine that has been repeatedly interrupted by fighting. AccuWeather says some showers and thunderstorms possible this afternoon, a high of 84, then cloudy and humid the rest of tonight, a low 66. Clouds giving way to some sunshine, a spotty shower or thunderstorm tomorrow, and a high of 84 degrees. Then Friday, less humid, sun and clouds, and a high 86. It's currently 85 degrees and quite humid in Sunbury. And I'm Cody Jade. Find the latest news all the time at WKOK.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You traitor.
I was coerced into appearing on the mark.
I mean, Lawrence is now like, I mean, so desperate he's now going to my show to steal.
Yeah, he is. Plagiarism was never a problem with Mark, apparently. So I'm going to be doing On the Mark tomorrow. I'll be in about 8:30. Going to be talking about, of course, the Catherine Kane report from more of a news perspective than sports perspective. But I'm also, Steve, going to be talking a little bit, I think, about the Supreme Court decision that came down yesterday about cell phones.
Right.
And that's a huge...
Yes, it is.
It really is in the news
the data
world.
The data is your data.
Yeah. And if it was just a mere phone, I think there would have been a different outcome. But because it contains your life story, your friend's life stories, your friend's friend's life stories, it's a different thing. So we're going to chat about that with Mr. Lawrence.
Because Kyle's life story is, you know, really.
Well, Kevin Herr's life story is on his cell phone. There's no question about that.
Well, yeah, and it's also on a billboard. Okay. Yes. Here's the letter that the Big Ten president sent out after Jim Delaney spoke. And then Jim Delaney was on a special edition on BTN yesterday. That's how important they think all this is.
And Jim Delaney is the commissioner of the Big Ten, so he's kind of the spokesman for the 12 universities that comprise the Big Ten, and ostensibly for the presidents who comprise the Council of Big Ten.
Right. Exactly. While testifying last week in the O'Bannon trial in Oakland, California, Big Ten Commissioner James E. Delaney, forever known as Jim Delaney in this, spoke to the importance of the inextricable link between academics and athletics as part of the collegiate model, and to the value of establishing a 21st century system to meet educational needs of current and future student athletes. During his testimony, Delaney conveyed sentiments long supported by the conference and its member institutions. Today, the presidents and chancellors of the Big Ten schools issue the following statement signed by the leaders of each institution. This, and all 14 signed it, including Eric Barron of Penn State. Another NCAA season concludes with baseball and softball championships. College athletics is under fire. While football players at Northwestern fight for collective bargaining, former athletes are suing to be compensated for use of their images. Football and men's basketball are at issue. Compensating the student athletes who compete in those sports will skew the overall academic endeavor for all students, not just those wearing a school's colors. The best solutions rest not with the courts, but with us, the presidents of the very universities that promote and respect the values of intercollegiate competition. Writing on behalf of all the presidents of the Big Ten Conference, we must address the conflicts that have led us to a moment where conversation about college sports is about compensation rather than academics. The tradition and spirit of intercollegiate athletics is unique to our nation. Students play as part of the first of their overall academic experience, not for a paycheck or end-of-season bonus. Many also compete in hopes of a professional career, just as our biology majors serve internships and musical theater students perform in summer stock. These opportunities, sports, marching band, campus newspaper, and more, are facets of the larger college experience and prepare students for life. And that, in its purest form, is the mission of higher education. The reality of intercollegiate athletics is that only a minuscule number of students go on to a professional sports career in the sports that generate the greatest revenue and attention. Football sees 13% of Big Ten players drafted by the NFL. Men's basketball sees 6% from our conference drafted by the NBA. For those student athletes who are drafted, their professional careers average fewer than 5 years. They still have several decades and potentially several careers ahead of them in which to succeed, and their college experience, their overall academic experience, should be what carries them forward. I work with a person who is exactly in that boat. Jack Ham has been successful in three careers in his lifetime. Okay, football, obviously, Hall of Fame career. Okay, he's also been successful in business at Ham Enterprises, and he also is successful as a broadcaster. That is why we propose working within the NCAA to provide greater academic security and success for our student-athletes. One, we must guarantee the four-year scholarships that we offer. If a student-athlete is no longer able to compete for whatever reason, there should be zero impact on our commitment as universities to deliver an undergraduate education. We want our students to graduate. I agree with that completely, Bob. You know, you get a scholarship, something happens to you, your education should be taken care of the rest of the way because, you know, you rolled your dice with them, we rolled the dice with you. Something happened to you, we take care of you.
It's called commitment and loyalty. And what most folks don't realize out in the public is that no one currently gets a four-year or five-year scholarship to a school. They get a series of one-year scholarships.
Exactly.
So this is making a commitment a real commitment.
USC, by the way, is going to be offering four-year scholarships to men's basketball players. They made that announcement this week.
And that is a precedent-setting thing because that's not the model.
I agree.
It is. Really is.
Agreed. And as you know, I've been advocating four-year scholarships. If a student-athlete leaves for a pro career before graduating, the guarantee of a scholarship remains firm. Whether a professional career materializes, and regardless of its length, we will honor a student's scholarship when his or her playing days are over. Again, we want students to graduate. That's something I just talked about. We must review our rules and provide improved, consistent medical insurance for student-athletes. We have an obligation to protect their health and well-being in return for the physical demands placed upon them. Again, common sense, totally agree. We must do whatever it takes to ensure that student-athlete scholarships cover the full cost of a college education as defined by the federal government. That definition is intended to cover what is actually the cost to attend college. Those are their proposals. Across the Big Ten and in every major athletic conference, football and men's basketball are the principal revenue sports. That money supports the men and women competing in all the other sports. No one is demanding paychecks for our gymnasts or wrestlers. And yet, it is those athletes in swimming, track, lacrosse, and other so-called Olympic sports who will suffer the most under the pay-for-play system. There is no question about that. They have finally, the presidents have articulated what Mark Emmert should have been articulating in the trial from day one. Okay?
Well,
they just said it.
As usual, right. Mr. Emmert missed the boat completely. He wasn't even at the pier when that boat sailed. He was, gosh knows where his map took him, but...
But they sidetracked him, and he did. Who cares if they sidetrack you? Bob, you know darn well, okay? If you are questioning me as a witness, I can steer it any way I want with my answers.
There's absolutely no question about it.
You ask. Yeah. Even if you ask me a yes or no question, I can still steer it the way I want.
No question about that. And intelligent witnesses who have a theme to their commentary or their information can do that despite the efforts of any very capable lawyer to lead them astray. But if it's the theme can come through loud and clear if the witness is capable of providing that or commentary in a way that people understand.
They go on here. We're in the final stages of this letter. The revenue creates more opportunities for more students to attend college, and all that provides and to improve the athletic experience through improved facilities, coaching, training, and support. If universities are mandated to instead use those dollars to pay football and basketball players, it will be at the expense of all the other teams. There is no question about this. You can talk free market all you want, but sports is not really based on the free market unless you're LeBron James. I mean, and literally, he's the only guy. He's the only guy that right now that really is in a free market, okay?
Mm-hmm. But his free market is limited to just the NBA. So
right.
You can't go out and compete in baseball or football. He's got an open market, but it's a limited market as well.
Says here that, if universities are mandated to instead use those dollars to pay football and basketball players, it will be at the expense of other teams. We will be forced to eliminate or reduce those programs. Paying only some athletes will create inequities that are intolerable and potentially illegal in the face of...
Gee.
Two words, Bob.
Title, let's see, what's that number, Steve? It's between 8 and 10?
Nine. Yes. The amateur model is not broken. See, I don't like them using the word amateur. I would say the college model is not broken. I would not use amateur, all right?
Yeah, that's
the
a buzzword.
Yeah, I would use collegiate. The collegiate model is not broken, but they used amateur. But it does require adjusting for the 21st century. Whether we pay student-athletes is not the true issue here. Rather, it's how our universities are going to provide a safe, rewarding, equitable environment for our student-athletes as they pursue their education. We believe that the intercollegiate athletics experience and the educational mission are inextricably linked. Professionalizing specific sports or specific participants will bring about intended as well as likely unintended consequences in undermining the educational foundation of these programs on Big Ten campuses and throughout the country. Higher education provides young people with options in life to thrive in the future. For a tiny minority, that future will be a professional sports career and all of its rewards. For all graduates, athletes and non-athletes, it is the overall academic experience that is the lifetime source of compensation in the form of a well-rounded education, and it's signed by all 14 members of the Big Ten Council of Presidents, which does currently include Rutgers and Maryland. Maryland and Rutgers are officially in the conference as of next Tuesday, but in terms of being in the Council of Presidents, they already have been included in that as of 6 months ago.
So they had a seat at the table, so that's why the number is 14. The Big Ten now, the Big Ten plus four. So.
Yeah, well, I don't think it's very good for, like, they sign this, right? The Big Ten and their 14 signatures. I mean, does that make education look good?
It
I mean,
does.
I don't know.
All right. Look, like, let us check with your mathematics department to see if that correlates with what you've been teaching in the classroom. Now, Steve, the downside of this discussion is the following. Yep. Well, yes, but, you know, Coach X at Big Ten University Y has a contract for $5 million. His assistant coach is dot, dot, dot. The president of the NCAA, Mr. Ermert, makes $1 million and whatever else he makes besides that. All right. Coming from the billions and billions of dollars of revenue that the NCAA take and its member institutions
right.
take in. That's
Agreed.
What I think the headline response will be. And, yeah, that's true, but the counter to that is, as you've articulated in a very clear fashion, yeah, that head coach brings in, along with the student-athletes, fans into the stadium, the television revenues of fans and spectators that don't make it to the stadium, the endorsements, the corporate partners. And then when that money comes in, it gets redistributed throughout the entire university. Just think of a university that has 1,200 athletes that are paying full tuition funded from a source not from the outside the academic arena of the university. Boy, I'd like to have that, you know, 1,000 people paying up customers right. up front to start with. That takes care of a lot of things. And my food service gets paid in full. My dormitories
right.
are filled and paid in full. Gee, that's a lot of revenue into the university.
Okay.
So.
I'll tell you what I don't like. For example, and I'm going to use Gene Smith as an example, and I mean nothing personal by it.
Sure.
And I mean nothing personal by what I'm going to say, because I've met Gene Smith, I like him, I respect him, all right? And whatever he's able to work out contractually, that's his baby. That's mm-hmm. okay, I understand that. And I respect that in a free market. I don't like performance bonuses for athletic directors.
No.
To me, and here's the reason why. You get paid to do a job. Okay, if you're doing your job, you've earned your money.
Can we just go back one thing, Steve, and say that Gene Smith is the athletic director at Ohio State University.
Ohio State.
And in his contract, he was getting extra compensation at the end of the year based on, among other things, whether one of the individual athletes in wrestling, for it was, I think, the one that won a national championship.
Yes.
What the heck does that have one to do with the other?
It's, right. It, and then,
it's I get beside myself like you do when a coach is getting money, or an athletic director getting money in his wallet based on what a kid that he is indirectly, not directly, responsible for. And because it's a 3-2 overtime decision, all of a sudden he gets more money? Gee.
All right, see, and I'm not for that. No. I'm not for, now again, it's a free market so people can do whatever they want. But I'm not for example, a coach gets a bonus for going to a bowl game. Or gets a bonus for going to the national championship. I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, you know, isn't that your job? Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Well, I can.
We're going through a time right now, for example, where we're talking on a news cycle, like IRS people were getting bonuses for whatever, and VA people were getting bonuses. That's your stinking job. Well, I don't care about you know.
And 80%, 80% of the people in the VA were eligible were getting bonuses. Well, gee, that's just crazy. I mean, it reminds me of the radio show, The Prairie Home Companion, where Garrison Keillor, who has this incredible radio show, says, you know, of the children of Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, where they're all above average.
It's like,
wait a minute, that's ironic, because they can't be.
I mean, okay, I walked out of here on Monday after the Kane report came out, and you and I had done the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And you know, whether the audience thought so or not, I walked out of here thinking to myself, that was one darn good show in terms of my gut feeling. Now, the audience may have thought the show stunk, but I walked out of here and thought that was one. And you and I exchanged text messages about that but it was intellectual. You always have the ability to relate complicated legal items and make it easy for people to understand. Now, did you and I go to Roger and say, "Hey, how about a bonus? That was a great show."
they upped my Reese's peanut butter cup quotient in the snack bar.
When I'm here in 2 hours a day, and it's obviously what I do is takes more than that because I'm working on this show all the time, trying to line up guests, trying to get interviews, you know, spotting items that we need to talk about. So it's a constant, you know, just going through the day. Okay, that's a good idea. Let's go that direction. That's a good idea. Let's read up more on that. So you're constantly doing that for this particular show. But the reason that we do it is because we are paid by Sunbury Broadcasting to put out the best show we can. I don't, you know, do I need an award for that? No, I get my award every 2 weeks.
Yes.
You know, I don't need to get a bonus. I don't, you know, a bonus every 2 weeks. Yeah. These people at Sunbury Broadcasting, okay, work hard, right? Take good care of us, and it's our responsibility to make sure they're getting their money's worth out of us, okay? As for a bonus, no. I mean, there's nothing in a contract, hey, if I have a great show, I'm going to get a bonus. Hey, I'm gonna get.
Yeah.
In fact, to me, I mean, Gene Smith getting a bonus, and again, this is not personal against Gene, okay, whom I like and respect very much. But that's the equivalent of Mark Lawrence going out and having a great show and getting big ratings because a couple of extra people listened to us in the afternoon and hung on the next morning.
Yeah.
Hey, how about a bonus for Buhner and me?
Yeah.
We had nothing to do with it.
Right.
I mean, I don't believe that. Hey, we do have to take a break. Kyle's earning his money. He keeps sending me these red flashes all the time. Right?
Keep you on your toes,
Kyle,
buddy.
But you misspelled stupid. All right. We'll come back.
Although
we'll
it does go before the word hey.
Yeah, it says hey, stupid. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory Emporia Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Okay, Bob, enjoyed it very, very much. Great show today.
Always
good
to talk
to you.
Maybe we
should ask for a bonus.
Yes, thank you.
Maybe we should ask for a bonus.
Yep. Hey, severe thunderstorm warnings in effect for everywhere around here.
Yeah, be careful because I've already gone through it a couple times today. The rain with it is very, very heavy, along with intense lightning strikes. It's